She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. I am Gina Murphy Darling, and you are listening to Mrs. Green's World, a fun and informative place where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to imagine that. Thanks so much for joining us. I invite you to check out the Fairfax Companies, one of our major supporters and a partner of Mrs. Green's World. They make some of the highest grade compost on this planet today, and I stand by that. And Fairfax saves thousands of tons of green waste and post-construction waste from going into our landfills every year. Please check them out at thefairfaxcompanies.com. Learn about Tank Screen stuff. They're going national. And if you want to learn more, that's the place to do it, thefairfaxcompanies.com. So everybody, take a deep breath and get ready to be very excited about this show, because who wouldn't be excited to talk about tiny houses, tiny homes? They have literally taken the country by storm, and how great is that? And the couple we are interviewing for this next hour have pushed the edge of the tiny home envelope even more with their Proof is Possible tour. Almost not to be believed, but very believable on what these 2+1 are doing. Our special guests for this next hour are Corbett and Grace Lunsford. They have taken the on the road with their tiny home on their truck. I am so not making this up. And it's a national tour from one end of the country to the other. And joining them on this house on wheels is their little girl, Nanette, and their two cats. Like, could I make this up? So Corbett and Grace, thank you for being here. And let's get started with your exciting story.
Thanks so much for having us, Gina.
We're so happy to be here.
We are. I mean, I just kept going down the rabbit hole and down the rabbit hole and saying, you've got to be kidding me. And part of it is not just the courage to do what you're doing, but that you have a baby and two cats.
The cats are not with us right now, but the baby is. So if she makes noise, please forget.
If she makes noise, I might tell everybody to be quiet so we can all hear her, because that's part of Mrs. Green's World. So for the first question, take as much time as you want, because this show is all about you. Share with us what your big mission was when you decided to take this on, and why you took it on, the Proof is Possible tour. And I would love it if you weave in there a little bit about your amazing backgrounds, and just take it away. It's benefiting thousands of people all over the country. And how's that as a zinger for a first question?
Awesome. No, that's great. That's very thorough. So I'll try and keep it as simple as possible. I used to be a professional musician. Grace, when we were first married, was an actress pre-union. So neither of us made much money. We wanted to have kids and have a house someday and all this stuff. And so I decided when I was 28 to stop doing music, looked around and waited for the universe to tell me what to do. And it turned out to be testing houses. And I thought that at first that was going to be sustainability consulting. And then I thought maybe it was going to be energy auditing. But then I realized that actually people just wanted us to solve their problems for them. So we started just testing hundreds and hundreds of houses. And what we test is not like home inspectors. Home inspectors and building officials look at the static state of a building. They look at the inventory of what's there and the structure and the finishes and the equipment. And what we were doing is looking at the dynamic state of a house. When you turn on the air conditioner, what happens in the house? When there's air leakage, where is it going? Where is it coming from? So we started asking a bunch of dumb questions, because I was a total idiot. I didn't know anything about construction at all. I used to be a piano player. So I realized after
it's a perfect segue, though, Corbett. You know, piano player, home inspector for all these things. I got it.
Yeah. So essentially what you think about, like as a musician, and this is kind of an interesting thing if you have listeners who are musicians, musicians think in terms of two planes at the same time. That's what they're trained to do. So they think in terms of relationships out of time, and that's called harmony. And then consequence or sequence, which is melody. And so what I do when I step into a house nowadays is look at those two things. I look at the relationship between all of the things in the house, out of time, and then the consequence of, if I turn this on, what happens next? What happens after that? And one thing follows another. And so that's, it's essentially music for buildings is what we do. So we realized after a few years that everyone had these questions, but that a lot of people who were trained by their father, were not willing to ask dumb questions, because then it would show that they were, you know, didn't know everything. And we were perfectly willing to do that. In addition to which, Grace is a filmmaker, and so we started making these YouTube videos. And after a few years of doing this and trying to talk about home performance and what could really get people from one place to another by air-tightening their homes, insulating properly, giving the construction professionals the time and also the requirements and the standards to be able to do quality work, we realized that we should just build something that would show people and give them this visceral experience of home performance, show them what an Olympic athlete of a house looks like. And of course, then that led to building this tiny lab, which is a tiny house on wheels, that is a mobile version of this experience of home performance for people. So we go around the country, and Grace was great about the crowdsourcing. We were able to, through our YouTube popularity, in our tiny little niche of home performance, she took a crowdsourcing approach.
And that was actually really interesting, because if you've ever done a crowdsourcing project, like a Kickstarter,
And I'm never doing it again.
You know,
it's
it's a very vulnerable thing, right?
Yes.
And we actually went with a company called Rocket Hub, which is a little bit smaller, but it also partners with a company called Fractured Atlas. And Fractured Atlas is actually our not-for-profit fiscal sponsor. So we actually raised all the funds to travel around and educate people through tax-deductible donations. So that was really a great way to get people on board for a crowdfund. And then B, we reached out to a bunch of companies that we knew ahead of time, like 12 different companies that we kind of had kind of lined up thinking they're going to come on board. And then when we put out the crowdfund, while we simultaneously moved from Chicago down to Tampa, while I'm 6 months pregnant and picked up our trailer, the amazing thing happened where really the crowd that we didn't know came together and it took off. And so we had planned for 16 cities, and we ended up getting into an oversell situation. 20 cities came on board, and since then we've even put cities on like bonus day kind of track.
Right, right.
And it's amazing, of those 12 companies that we had approached, only like one or two of them came on board. The rest of the companies we had never met before. They were just home performance people who saw what we were doing, got it, and really wanted to make a unique statement in their community by bringing us to their audience, which was great.
And it's so much more than just people moving and living in a tiny home. It's really about homeowners learning about how to maximize living in the home they're in and how to make it, you know, more efficient. Leakage, I mean, I could go wax poetic about, you probably don't get into this,
absolutely.
But mold. So it's like it's for everyone.
It really is for everyone. If you can think about our four walls, then take those concepts back to your 10 walls or 16 walls, you know. Because, yeah, you're right. That while the tiny home is cool, it's really a lure to get people out and also to give people the visceral experience of kind of kicking the tires of home performance. So they come into our house, and I always say, I typically am the one who lead the tours inside. Corbett talks about the mechanics from the outside. And the first thing I tell everyone to do is just take a listen. And you hear nothing. And that is the sound of air sealing. And then I say, okay, everybody, deep breath. And everybody breathes through their nose, and I say, what do you smell? And someone will say, fresh air, or like cedar, what? All these things that I want to hear them say.
Right.
Not a litter box, because you have two cats, or dirty diapers, or is that a composting toilet?
Oh,
you know, and we're in 210 square feet, so you should be able to smell those things, but you can't. And that is the sound and the smell of home performance. And then you get all those other beautiful byproducts of energy efficiency and comfort and safety and control. Really, that's the word we're hoping that people can start to understand about home performance is that it's about controlling your home.
Even the words home performance, you don't think about that. You think about your car performing. I loved those combinations of home performance. Your home doesn't, you don't normally think of that. But I have to ask you this because I knew this was going to be a wild and crazy show, partly because I'm wild and crazy about all of the idea. But I have to ask you both this. Who prepared the notes that were helping me prep for this show? Did you guys do it?
Yeah, I did.
They are hysterical. Like, hysterical. I am sorry. I was laughing my head off. And I want to share with our listeners, because I have such great tribe, people in my tribe, and they write to me, and they talk to me on the street, and I get emails from all over. So here's what I have to say. I want to say, how do I get you laughing? Because this is what it says. Though they don't earn money from their marriage, they could be a commercial for weddings. They've lived and worked together for what seems like 55 years, and they laugh very, very loudly. So I started laughing when I'm reading this. If you get them laughing at the same time, watch out. Also, they do concerts of original music. They tend to play, when they do, very, very softly. And I was just cracking up. And you've released 7 albums under the name Mysterium. And I thought, I just want to be friends with these people. Can I come hang out on the tour for a couple of weeks?
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah, that the soft music thing was a reaction when we used to play, when I was a professional, and we used to do it for money, which I enjoy not doing. I just do it for love now. But we used to play, you know, gigs at bars and music venues, and people don't dance anymore, which we're really surprised by. And it was kind of disappointing because you'll be pouring your heart out into this rock song, and everybody's just standing still.
I can't stand it.
I can't stand it. You can definitely see it at work in music venues across the country. But we decided then, like, oh, if that's how it's going to be, then let's do this. Everybody just lay down on the floor, and we'll all have nap time, and we're going to play some lullabies. Because if that, you know, like, then it's really what people are looking for. Because right now we have a very passive society. So that's one of the other things that we like about the Tiny Lab, is that we are actually getting people to come out of their normal lives and take a special trip into our home, which is kind of a weird thing for them to do. And while they're there, they're having this experience that we hope they're going to remember for years to come, of like, hey, I was in a house that was tiny, and they had 2 cats, and I couldn't smell the cats, and that's the first time that's ever happened, you know, on top of all the other stuff. Of course, we've got the air conditioner that's wonderful in there. It's a Mitsubishi ductless mini split, which ducts, most people don't know, are the worst part of every HVAC system, and that thing makes no sound. We have a ventilation system from Brone. We've got the formaldehyde-free plywood that we're trying to teach people. They had no idea, generally, that plywood, all plywood except for one brand, Purebond, has formaldehyde in it. And home performance is happening whether we like it or not. So we're on this train of all states are adopting more airtightness standards, more insulation. So you're going to be moving into a brand new airtight house. And what does that mean? Because most people just assume that since people build houses all day long, they must know what they're doing. And of course now,
not.
It makes me nervous to go to the doctor now, because I realize that just because you do something all day long doesn't make it,
it doesn't make you
that good at it, right?
So
it doesn't
true.
Mean that you're thinking all the time.
Okay, so go on a little bit about that, because when you, I don't want to get off track, but I'm obsessed with my new magnificent discovery that happened through a personal friend, which is a way a lot of things happen, actually 2 friends, who got very, very, very sick from mold in one case and bacteria in another case in their house. And Corbett and Grace, the story is so gross that my girlfriend had a very invasive surgery for her sinuses because she kept getting sick and sick. And she had this surgery, which was painful. The recovery was long. And guess what? 2 weeks later, she got the same thing, was really sick. And some wonderful company here in Tucson called Russet Southwest, there was a guy, the owner, who was like a freak about mold and bacteria in houses. And he said to her, can I come to your house and just do it? And we call him the duct whisperer, because Grace, when you talked about smells, he goes in a house and he can tell if there's a problem going on. He goes, Gina, I don't know how to explain it, but I have, you know, he's like a nose for a perfume company, or you know what I mean? It's like, so you know about these things, because homes can make you very sick as well. Do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually know that gross surgery that you're talking about, not because I've had it done, but I have a degree in musical theater, and so I know a lot of singers, and sinuses obviously are a very important thing, and I know a lot of people who have had that surgery, and knowing what I know now, I can't help but wonder if their living environment was helping contribute to it.
You just know it. You just know it.
Yeah, you do. You do. And I'm gonna give this over to Corbett because I want him to talk a little bit about the duct whisperer. A super smeller is great, but diagnostic testing, well, that takes it to a new level.
Right, and they do that. I mean, they have partnered with a company here, and I went to lunch with them one day, and it was a 2-hour lunch. With this seems to be one of your specialties, Grace, because also one of the notes was crack me up. I was putting like stars and stickies that you toured all over with your movies, meeting people, and this is the line, making them cry. So I'm like, I hear these stories from, you know, Gary and his, you know, another person, Tim, and there was this other guy that they go in and they do environmental diagnostic and the stuff that they find in homes. Very scientific. So, Corbett, tell us about that. Just expand on it, because I haven't done a show on it.
Sure. Well, this is the thing that really drives us crazy enough to build our own house, go on a nonprofit educational tour around the country.
With your little girl.
Yeah, right. And I'm 37, and Grace and I have been married for 12 years. Our baby is 6 months old. But they have been doing blower door tests and infrared scans with infrared cameras since 1981, 35 years. And that's how old Grace is. So literally, this stuff has been around forever. And the main point of it, as you're talking about it, is environmental control. Because you can get sick and you can die from your house nowadays. And of course, we don't want to get rid of houses. Everybody needs a house. And the codes are changing and the materials are changing. We're putting more plastic in houses. We have materials that will degrade faster from moisture and grow mold and all that stuff. So we have to deal with the reality and the problem that we have realized is that the conversation is completely centered around energy efficiency, which is the problem because it has nothing to do with the environmental control. So people can think, oh, I'd like to make my house more energy efficient, which actually most people don't think that and then make a $10,000 decision based on that. But if there are people who do that, they don't realize that some of the side effects of doing energy efficient things to your house can actually grow mold.
Yes.
The best example of this is if you have hardly any insulation in your attic and you just go and hire a company to blow insulation in your attic, but you don't do what's called air sealing first, you can actually start growing mold in your attic because of that thing that you did. So this idea of the house as a system, which is the whole mantra of home performance, that it's a system just like your body, just like your car. You would not let your mother go into a doctor's office and say, hey, my stomach hurts, please take out my appendix. Because we understand that
one
you want to
only
do
hope.
Diagnostics. Right, I know. But at the same time, we all know people, and maybe ourselves, who go to a window salesman and say, hey, my house is cold. Maybe I need new windows. And of course, the answer is going to be yes, of course. Or to an air conditioning guy and say, hey, my top floor is hot in the summertime. Maybe I should have my air conditioner checked out. And of course, the answer is yes, absolutely. So the idea that there are a whole bunch of complicated relationships between the things in your house and a whole bunch of consequences of the sequence of events that happen in your house is something that people can understand when they have Fitbits, when they've got the understanding of a car diagnostic system. So all we have to do is translate all of that knowledge into the most expensive thing you will ever buy, which is your house. And it's kind of a no-brainer. Once people hear that, they go, oh, that actually makes perfect sense, that it would be an interrelating system of interdependent parts. So I think that's the main issue, is that we get an email alert from Google every week, because we have asked Google to send us this, that tells us the 50 stories across the world that were in the news where a family...
There's Nanette chiming in. I was hoping. I love it.
She can feel the sense of foreboding in my voice. The 50 stories where people died because their house killed them with carbon monoxide. And that was where she said.
Are you serious?
Really. She was a little bit ahead of the curve. Yes, it's true. So
that they die from carbon monoxide in their own home.
Yes.
Okay, hold that thought, because we have to go to a very short break. We'll be right back, and I have so many more questions, and I'm sure everybody listening is waiting with bated breath. We'll be right back. Corbett and Grace Lunsford, and chiming in, Nanette, their little precious girl. Mrs. Green's World, we'll be right back. So guess what, guys? This is so, there's no break coming up. I don't know what happened with the firing, so let's see what happens.
Okay.
Maybe I just went a little bit early because that's what I did. I'm getting a yes from the board op that I went a little bit early. But when we come back, some of the things that I want to talk to you about are, what causes the mold? Why does bacteria start growing? If you have answers for that and so much more. Everybody, sorry for the mess up. We'll be right back. Stay here with us.
Join us for a new on-demand podcast every week at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio or SoundCloud mobile apps. We are a proud member of the iHeartRadio, Glimmerglass, and Speak Up networks. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Stay in touch with information about healthy living, sustainability, contests, and events by signing up for our e-newsletter on our website. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. But right now, back to Mrs. Green.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. So happy to have with us two very special guests, and I want to say three because it is three. Corbett and Grace Lunsford and their daughter Nanette are sharing with us their excellent cross-country adventure. Easy for me to say. Their Proof is Possible tour. They have literally hit the road with their young daughter, two cats in tow sometimes, maybe, and they are educating homeowners all over America and helping to give those homeowners the confidence and empowerment they need to really own their homes. And we don't mean in terms of their mortgage, but in terms of really what, how is your home performing and how are you measuring that and how are you making sure that your home is healthy for you and your kids and your visitors and your pets. I mean, and the beat goes on. So Corbett and Grace, thanks for sharing your excellent adventure. And I can't wait to meet you when you're here in Phoenix in October.
Likewise.
Okay, so is that a good question about, I've never asked the people that I have here, what starts causing the mold? Can it be that water leak somewhere? Or can it be something came in through the ducts? D, all of the above? I mean, with all you've done, Corbett, you must have some idea. What starts what lies beneath?
Absolutely. So the first thing that we need to do is start thinking about our house as a system. And what that takes is systematic thinking.
Right.
So the short answer is there is no very simple answer to, like, for example, don't bring Beanie Babies into your house. That would be too easy. Really, it's a more complicated relationship. So what we do is try to break down the system of home performance into a 4-3-2-1 approach. And I'll just explain the four for a second. So what really goes on in your home is that there are four elements to home performance. There is heat flow, which everybody understands because they understand that heat bleeds into their house in the summertime and bleeds out of their house in the wintertime, and you want to stop that. That's why most people think that they need more insulation and new windows. Both of those things are generally a total waste of money for most houses because they will not actually solve the problem, which we'll get into in a minute. The third thing on the four elements is airflow and pressure. Airflow and pressure is something that's constantly at work in a house, even though it's very subtle. So most people aren't even aware that this is happening unless they are trying to turn on a bathroom fan to exhaust moisture out of a shower, or trying to, you know, put their hands up to a furnace filter or a furnace register and feel the air coming out. That's the only time really they think about this. But that is the most powerful thing in general at work in a house. The second element is moisture. And the elements are getting more important as we talk about them. So moisture is critically important because there's too much of it, you end up with mold, mildew, rot, pests. Dampness, smells, all that stuff is an ingredient in the number one element of all, which is air quality. And to us, air quality includes not just the smells and the dampness and, you know, that kind of thing, but also like noise, light quality, and also the kind of temperature differential between the top floor is hot, bottom floor is cold. I don't know what to make of that. I don't necessarily think of that as a heat bleeding out of my house problem. It's just an out of tuneness that I'm aware of as a normal homeowner. And so most people, when they do that, are going to call the HVAC professional, because the air quality is generally the main motivator. And I hate to say this, but it's true that most HVAC technicians who show up at people's houses are not given by their employers the training or the tools to actually diagnose.
This
is why it's so critical that in Phoenix, our city sponsor is Efficiency First Arizona. It's a trade organization that's made up of professionals who actually do know how to test the whole house. Just like you were saying, your friends know how to do. This is the future of all construction. So testing it and finding out what is actually happening before you start throwing money guessing at, you know, solutions to things. And generally the solutions people want to sell you are things that make lots and lots of money, like windows, new air conditioners, new furnaces, spray foam, things like that. And really doing things to a house surgically without having any diagnostics at all is as ridiculous as walking into a doctor's office and allowing them to give you some prescription pill without testing your blood pressure or your pulse or your temperature or asking you any questions about your diet or exercise. So the mold, to get back to your very specific question, mold forms because of either too much moisture or cold surfaces. And the cold surface thing becomes a real sticking point because what I mentioned earlier about adding insulation to your attic.
Right.
If you've got a bunch of air leakage into your attic, and this is actually an example from a client that we recently had. He had a mold expert come out to his house, and he was aware that he had started growing mold in the attic. And he asked the mold guy to go up into the attic, find out if it was mold, which of course it is, and to find out where it's coming from. And the guy gave him a 40-page report, which was incredibly thorough and PhD level. But what it said was, in essence, mold is forming in your attic because warm, moist air is coming into the attic from the house. And the solution to getting rid of the mold is to ventilate the attic. And that is, he was on the right track until that very last thing, because really the solution is to stop the warm, moist air from getting into the attic.
Got it.
Ventilating the attic is what everybody thinks they need, because that's sold to them with like things like solar attic fans and more attic ventilation. Right. It's an expensive fix. It takes time. It takes really, you know, a lot of professional expertise to cut a hole in your roof. What you really need to do is air seal the attic floor, because at that point, there is no warm, moist air coming out of the attic, and the mold will just simply go dormant and die eventually. And you can leave it up there because you're not supposed to be breathing what's in your attic. So it's that kind of an approach that really starts to kick people into the mindset of systematic thinking about their home. If there's a moisture problem, it might be because we're not exhausting the moist air fast enough out of the bathroom, which, by the way, for example, bath fans, the job of a bath fan is to exhaust moisture. But everybody thinks that they're there so that they can be over the toilet to exhaust odor. So really, the best
point,
right, is to be over the shower. But you walk into any bathroom.
What?
Like, if your listeners are in a bathroom right now, look around and look at where the bath fan is. And it is never in the right place, which is over the shower. It's going to be in the middle of the room or over the toilet, where it's doing almost nothing to exhaust actual moisture. So this makes us sad. That's why we're on the tour.
But that's, I mean, it's just shocking. And aside from how much fun you guys are, this is so important. Like, I turn into a freak about what lies beneath. I mean, that might be my next book, the things that are making us sick in our own homes. And I'm being asked to speak about it more and more. And this just adds fuel to the fire. So kind of on the same track, when people, I want to know a little bit about, like, the, how do you come into a city or a town so that people know you're there and that they know what you're going to teach them about, that it's not just about a tiny home. That's not what you're experts in. You're experts in home performance and not making people sick and doing amazing things that people, I mean, people who are listening that do actually click through, they need to go to buildingperformanceworkshop.com and have some fun and learn and maybe save some lives. And
yeah.
I don't think that's hyperbole.
It isn't hyperbole. When they go to buildingperformanceworkshop.com and you scroll down, you're going to see something called the Genius Booklet. And that is actually a 24-page magazine that we have been handing out in every single city. So when the people are in, whether in our tiny home, whether or not they fully get the concept, we make sure they leave the door with this magazine so that the next morning they're sitting there with their coffee and they open it up and they start reading and uncovering all of these truths that we're talking about. And any of your listeners can get it right now at Building Performance Workshop. It's free. Just go click on the Genius booklet and download it. Put it on your PDF. And when you sit down with a contractor the next time, or you start thinking about the mystery problems in your home, go to that resource first and really dig in deep, because that's your answers are going to be in there. And even if you're not 100% sure how to talk to a contractor about it, you can, you know, sit on the table with them, turn the PDF around and put it right in front of them and say, look at this. This is what I need. This is what I want. Or this is what I think is going on. So, so that's really how we turn the conversation into measured results, by giving that information.
And
the other way that we get this across, by the way, real quick, is the YouTube channel, because Grace's filmmaking background really helps with that. We take it really seriously.
I know. I want a Grace.
Yeah, I know. Everybody should have one.
Doesn't everybody want a Grace? Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a playlist about the Tiny Labs construction on the YouTube channel, and the YouTube channel is called Home Performance, where people can see all of the specific choices that we made with our house so that they can make those same exact choices with their house, whether it's an old house and they're trying to improve it, or a brand new house that they're having built for them, or, you know, building an addition, renovating, et cetera. It's all right there, and all of the things that we did are off-the-shelf techniques. I'm a first-time home builder, so anyone in the building profession could actually do a much better job than I could. And yet, because we diagnosed and tested and proved that everything works, in any city we go to, I'm allowed, because no one can argue with me, to say that my house, the Tiny Lab, is the best performing house in the entire state. And we'll do that in Phoenix when we're there in October. We're going to do it in San Diego and San Francisco next week. And the thing about it is that I have more stats about my house than anybody else has. So I know for a fact my 6-year-old or 6-month-old baby is not being poisoned by formaldehyde or carbon monoxide or radon. And this is the kind of thing that anybody can have. It's not hard.
And you talk about radon. I mean, that's a huge thing here. And I just went to a thing last night, which is really not off task. A friend of mine is truly a feng shui expert, and he's talking to me about where the electricity comes into the house, because now there are substantive studies about you should not have your bedroom in the, or your, especially your headboard up against where the electricity comes into the house. And he's got a Geiger counter that can measure, you know, leakage of electricity. So I just think that I want to go back to, you have to tell me a little bit more about going from the amazing lives you had in musicians and acting and Grace making people cry, to how this became such a passion that you put your lives on hold to help save lives and educate people and raise awareness. You have to tell me a little bit about what happened.
Sure.
Did somebody you love get sick, or what's, you know, how did this path come about?
It's very flattering when you put it that way. I love that you get that we're out trying to,
that
we have people
truth.
Come into our house and say, so what do you guys get out of this? Like, what's in it for you? And really, the short answer is, like, we just, you know, it makes us upset that people don't know this stuff. You know, obviously we have a business in diagnostics, but to answer your question about our backgrounds, I think that the thing about the fact that we are who we are and we can do this is, number one, we are not backed by any gigantic organizations. We have product partners, which include Mitsubishi and Panasonic and Braun and
right.
475 High
right.
Performance Building Supply, but those companies gave us products. They did not give us money. Therefore, we are not beholden in any way to any giant organization to say something specific. So we can open our big mouths and say some stuff that probably people in positions of power can't do. Second thing is that as a beginner in this field, I've only been doing this for 8 years, and yet somehow magically, because we have information about what's going on in houses, I will win every argument with any mechanical engineer, HVAC person, builder, architect, because I'm the only one who has actual information. So as a beginner, though, I still hang on to that idiot sensation of, like, I feel like I've got some dumb questions, because that enables us to talk to normal people. And a lot of people who are really good at this field have been doing this for 35 years, and they have long ago forgotten how to talk to normal people because they can't remember what it's like to be one. So I think that the fact that we're new enough to still feel like we're fresh and that we don't get it and that we want the explanations, and the fact that we have the arts background so that we can tell this story, because that's the whole thing to us, is that the story of home performance has not been told effectively before. So that kind of takes us into next year on PBS, 2017 summer, there will be our television show premiering, which is, it's called Home Diagnosis.
Can I ring the bell? I have to ring the bell. It's like, yay, I want people to stop and pay attention and listen to this. It's going to get better, and I rarely ring the bell.
Thank you. So, yeah, Home Diagnosis is basically This Old House meets CSI, if you can imagine what that show would be. So it's all about
that would be a great name. Oh, my gosh, you guys are hysterical. Oh, my gosh, I love it. This Old House meets CSI. I'm writing it down. It's probably going to be a hashtag on Twitter.
Awesome.
So, okay,
yeah, when that's up, I think that people, I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, people come to our house because they have seen tiny houses on TV. America
yes.
is a little bit inundated with television to the
I
point
am.
Where really, yeah, I know, and we are too. And the sad thing is that you don't really believe in things unless they are, or until they are, on television. So the fact that diagnostics has never been on TV in a major way before, we think is part of the problem. So once it's on there and everybody says, oh, I saw that on TV, then I think that the conversation can change in a much more meaningful way.
How exciting is that? Like, to be able to do that and living the dream. And I want to figure out how I can get to be on the TV show so I can ham it up with you guys. So I'm just planting that seed. Mrs. Green comes to the lab and proof is possible.
Awesome.
Go into a little bit about, do you think you're having an impact on, or will you raise awareness with these HVAC people? And I know quite a few of them, and they're not bad people. They're in business, and they do want to sell their equipment and supplies. I have a person that I know that she stands up in one of the groups I'm in and says, don't forget to change out your air filters. If they get clogged up, if you're doing any construction, blah, 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 change out your filters. But by and large, other than Russet Southwest, which is just new in my life and passionate about it, are they educating their employees that other things could be going on and helping, you know, making money? What's wrong with that? That's good. But ethically getting it to the next step of getting rid of the problem.
Yes.
Does that make sense? That is a long question, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yes. And essentially, so being artists, has taught us to be patient and to do as much stuff ourselves as possible. And it's kind of gotten us into this mode where we can move very, very fast. So we, several years ago, back in 2012, wrote a book called Home Performance Diagnostics. And that's the guide to testing homes. And it was, frankly, ahead of its time, which is fine, because all we have to do is wait.
Right.
And my point with the HVAC world is that all we have to do really is wait, because homes are made of two systems when it comes to performance. There is the enclosure, which is made of the air tightness layer, and the insulation. Generally, those two things are going to be together. Sometimes they might be made of like the same material, if it's spray foam, for example, which, by the way, there is no spray foam in our tiny lab. I can get more into that in a while. But there's the enclosure is of primary importance. That is the most important thing in your entire house as far as the performance goes, of controlling those four elements that we talked about: heat flow, airflow and pressure, moisture, and air quality. The other system is the engines, and those engines are things that move heat or air around inside the house or between the house and outside, and that includes the HVAC system. The HVAC system is the main engine for most houses, and the problem is that when you have a disagreement between those two systems, they're out of tune with each other,
right?
The engines will always lose. There is no possible way to install an HVAC system on a house and have it not be tuned to the enclosure and have people go about their daily lives and think everything is okay. They will absolutely call you back. So what's about to happen in the next couple of years here, as we get these energy codes sweeping the country, which they will be in all 50 states will have, as part of their building code, required air tightness and further insulation and things like duct tightness and duct
tightness testing.
And odor testing. So when that happens, all we have to do is sit and wait for the HVAC professionals to start freaking out, because they keep getting called back and called back and called back. Even though they're doing great work potentially, they are not looking at the home as a system. So counting the air conditioner and the furnace and even the ductwork, but not considering the insulation and the air tightness layer, is not going to work. So that's essentially where we're at right now. We're trying to spread the word so that people in their homes can start asking for the good stuff while the HVAC community is slowly learning about it because they have to, not because they want to. They don't really have a choice at this point. They must learn about the whole home as a system approach because their equipment is going to start failing because of the enclosure. And I have a billionaire client who that is exactly the thing that happened. His HVAC company probably went out of business because they had to uninstall 11 tons of the nicest equipment that you could buy. It was
you
a very sophisticated HVAC system. Yeah, no. And then the builder spray foamed the entire house without having the HVAC guy ask, what is the insulation and air tightness layer that you're using? And so he designed the system the same way he always did, same way his father did, same way his grandfather did.
Okay,
and
hold that thought.
It will not work.
Okay, we've got to come back to that. Everybody stay here with me. I'm hanging on your every word. Grace and Corbett Lunsford, Proof is Possible Tour. We'll be right back.
Mrs. Green's world's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's world is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's world sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. And I hope you will listen to that announcement. We need more sustainers. We would love more sustainers. We welcome more sustainers so that we can keep bringing to you amazing shows like this that help with your quality of life. Very special guests week after week. You can tell that I am super excited about this show. Exuberant might be the word that we could use for my behavior during this hour, but why not? This is about a life-saving mission that two incredibly talented and fun people took on to literally help educate Americans about the quality of life in their own homes and how are their homes performing. So Corbett and Grace, sign me up for the fan club because I'm in it, okay? Let's just do this because I'll forget and we'll be going off the air and I'll be saying, oh my gosh. So website, buildingperformanceworkshop.com, Facebook, Grace and Corbett 2016 Tour. Fun site. I don't have a Twitter handle for you. Do you have one?
We do. So our Twitter is at Proof is Possible. And also proofispossible.com is the kind of quick link for the national tour. And on that page is our video tour of the Tiny Lab in case one of your listeners isn't in the 20 cities or the bonus days. They can definitely go online and take a tour and really hear more, frankly, than you would even
right.
get.
You just don't have to be there. You can learn by just, you have so much content, rich information
yes.
on your site. And then Instagram, home performance. I am the Instagram person on the Mrs. Green's World team because I love it. And then
oh, good.
Pinterest.
Well, you'll find a lot of infrared art out there.
I'm going to be looking.
We have an infrared camera that I carry on my iPhone. It's called a FLIR 1. And I'm just constantly snapping little pictures in infrared. It's pretty cool.
I'll be watching. And I mean, it's just such a great show. And then Pinterest, we have lots of people out there that are pinning. It's Building Perform. You can find that. And then Google Plus, I want to keep mentioning that. It's Plus Home Performance. So there's many. And the YouTube channels. What I would recommend to everybody, which is what got me down the rabbit hole, is go to the buildingperformanceworkshop.com, and there are links to everything. There's links to Facebook, Twitter, and all of the other things you need to know. So, okay, we were talking about, this is like so jarring to me, because I have been to, you know, I was on the Southern Arizona Home Builders Green building council and went on a tour where one of the quote-unquote green home champions showed us why this spray foam was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Not so much?
Well, spray foam is not an inherently evil thing by any means.
Okay.
Is it the best thing since sliced bread? I wouldn't say that either. It's a chemistry experiment. You need to have really qualified technicians implementing it as well.
What's interesting is that it's, as far as a chemistry experiment goes, it's a two-part process. So technically, in the first place, it is the only thing you will ever put in your house that was manufactured inside of your house. And for that reason and a few other technicalities, insurance for your home, if there is something going wrong with your spray foam, like, for example, it can take a long time to cure if it's installed improperly by somebody
right.
who is like the low bidder, and you might have to move out of your house because it smells like poison or you're getting a lot of headaches. And that we hear about that from people around the country because they know to reach out to us. Or you have your house burned down because it is a very, it's called an exothermic process, so it gives off heat when you apply it. And if you're installing it and not thinking very clearly, then you could set somebody's house on fire. Either of those two things, your insurance is probably not going to give you a cent, which is a horrible thing to realize after the fact. So
yes.
Just as a warning to your listeners, that being said, it is a great product, but it's anybody who tells you that it is one of those products that will solve all your problems, just like a prescription drug commercial that says, oh, your life is going to be perfect. Right at the end of the commercial, they go over all the side effects. And what that means is you're going to have to take another pill to offset those side effects. And then you're going to have to take another pill when those two pills start interacting with your unique chemistry and. And so that's what we are dealing with in homes, too. Anybody who says that they're one thing, like new windows or spray foam or more insulation or a more efficient furnace is going to fix your problems is just not telling the truth. And it might be because they don't know, and that's fine. That's why we're on the tour. But, essentially, that's it.
But that's like... It's really sad what you just said, and I don't mean to be, cliche, but it's really sad that it could be so bad that people, we're talking about lives and the biggest investment people ever made, and the thing that gets me excited and ignited and passionate is people don't know what they don't know, and this is one platform where we can help them. You trust people. They're building your home. You're giving them a boatload of money. Of course they have your best interest at heart. Not educate yourself. Do
and
the
you know,
homework
yes.
that would take that you look for a car. Nobody just goes and buys a car.
Exactly.
This is your house. It's
yeah.
just,
and
oh
the
my
other
God,
thing,
I'm getting the whiny
coin,
voice on.
The flip side of this is that, so we are talking about requiring higher kind of standards for professionals,
right.
HVAC, builders, et cetera. The reason, though, that we are inheriting these houses that are built really fast and really cheaply and without a lot of attention to detail or attention to the home as a system is because we have asked the building professionals to do that kind of work
yes.
for decades.
You're right.
It's really our
There's
fault.
There's no blame. Yes.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So we have been programming the building professionals to think that we want as fast and as cheap as possible. And what we need to do is reprogram ourselves to, number one, say, yes, we're going to require proof that you gave us what we're paying for with diagnostic data that shows that you actually did a great job scientifically. But also, I'm going to give you, building professional, more time and more money to do the job the quality way, because that's what it takes. Really, we all know, because we've shopped at natural food co-ops, eggs that were found in a field of, like, free-range chickens cost more money than ones that are, laid by hens that are all trapped inside of these.
Yeah, that never move for their whole right? entire life. And then we eat.
Exactly. Yeah. And of course, it's going to cost more money. But as your second time homeowners who are listening will understand, homeownership can be a nightmare if you're just throwing money at guessing at things, because you might not fix the problem. 5 years in a row, you've spent tons of money and all this time worrying about it, and it's still not fixed. And so really having proof that you can get the job done the right time, the first time, is invaluable, and people will pay more for that.
And people are throwing away money, and they're throwing away time, and they're hard-earned money. And I think, Corbett, you raised such a good point. I love the tagline for my show. We don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And the message
yeah.
here that you're giving to us, both of you, is we really need to think and reprogram ourselves about what we eat, about what lies beneath in our homes. That's one of my favorite expressions. We need to think about the food that we're putting into our bodies. And, you know, to me, I grew up with not a lot of trust issues. Okay? I trusted the government because they had my best interest at heart, and I trusted the food that I bought, and on and on and on, because I believe, well, you can be sure now, I don't do that anymore. I read every label. I hate going to the grocery store because it takes a really long time. And these kinds of things are, you can be sad about them or you can be inspired and know that one listener listening to this show who says, I've had 12 sinus infections this year, it might be my house, starts on a journey that will help heal that person. So
yes, absolutely. And I think it's important to remember that it's not because people are evil necessarily.
No, absolutely right.
They just aren't thinking all the time, because doing an adequate job is actually really hard for most people. They're just not, they're on autopilot. And that's the way that doctors and builders and architects and HVAC professionals and me sometimes are. And the way that I kind of explain it with the Tiny Lab is, it was me and my dad and my mom and my little brother on site building this thing. And you can be sure I made a ton of mistakes, because I'm a first-time builder. I've never built anything before.
can't believe it.
Yeah, you ask any builder who has built 1,000 houses, and I hope that you have listeners who are in that category. I hope that they would write into you and tell you if they still make mistakes. And the answer that you will always get is, yes, of course. The difference between somebody who's good at their job and somebody who's not so good at their job is that the person who's good finds the mistakes that they made with what you would do in like the journalism world, with proofreading or spell checking. But the problem is, we have not given building professionals the time or the money to actually look back at what they just did and say, hey, is that right? Because they just don't have the resources to be able to do that. They're rushing to the next job as fast as possible because they have a really fast life. I mean, the reason they show up at your house without their shirt tucked in is because they don't have time to tuck on their shirt. And they don't have time to think if they don't have time to do that. It's just the whole culture needs to be changed.
It's just amazing. And I, you know, we have like maybe 8 minutes left, the most. So there's, and I have about 80 more questions, but let's cover some of the really exciting things. And then I have a couple of questions. I'd love to know like what's next. So that's a question. You have 6 episodes of Home Diagnosis filmed and a distribution agreement, and it's going to be on PBS. Yes.
Yes.
Another bell ringing is called for, I think. Like, yes. It's educating the masses.
Yeah. Yeah. And Home Diagnosis is really, we thought about the name pretty thoroughly and wanted people to really understand that there are more consequences than just a comfort, that safety and health are just such a huge thing. And this is where we spend, you know, a good portion of our life, Lord knows, hopefully at least 12 hours of our day, and where we get some sleep in these homes. And that's where we put the most precious things in our life, too, our babies, our parents. It's a sanctuary. Let's make sure that it's diagnosed well and that we are implementing the right prescriptions for improvement so that everybody's home performance can be at the level that it should be.
But I just have to underscore here, exclamation point, hashtag whatever the heck, that you're talking about not giving someone a pill to treat a symptom. You're talking about getting to the cause. Like, talk about reprogramming ourselves. How about we shift the way our medical system is set up with all sick people? So you're talking about diagnosing it, finding the cause. And not just like Corbett said, not just making sure you have new windows and thicker insulation. Oh, we're going to be better now.
Right. And, you know, and I think there's so much culture. I want to bring this up, of fear. I just had a baby, right?
Right.
So I got to experience the medical industry in a whole new way. And I had no idea how much fear was inhibiting people from doing things like reading more and educating themselves and being advocates for themselves. And often we have people who come into the Tiny Lab and see some of the stuff and hear the things that we're talking about, and they say, oh gosh, I would never want you to come to my home. I know it's got tons of problems. And I think to myself, well, then, yeah, you want us to come. We're the first person who should come into your door by the end of this day.
Yes.
Why are you afraid of this? Why are we as a nation afraid of, understanding our medical industry, our home construction industry? Like, these have serious consequences. We should be advocating for each other to have this knowledge.
And Grace, we could do a whole other show, because I ended up, when you talk about the medical system, we're not going to go off on that tangent, but I had my last child at home because of that whole fear, and it worked out great. It almost killed my dad, but it's okay. It's like he just said, Gina, you can, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, Poppy, more people, more women, miscarriage, whole thing. It's like, but your point is really well taken. Educate yourself, read, do the research. You know, I had a great doctor who said to me, you don't have to give up your rights when you enter a hospital. People do out of fear, and they think that the hospital is in charge, and you might make a couple of enemies, but it's your baby, and you can have it the way you want. So that's,
yeah.
I'm glad we've got that in there.
Yeah, and we shouldn't be afraid to not talk about things. I think the social media world has kind of shut down some people. Like, it's hard to talk about the problems in your home. It's hard to talk about birth. It's hard to talk about vaccines. It's hard to talk about these things because it becomes kind of a taboo subject. Again, because of that fear. Again, because it's black or white.
Yes.
You're pro-hospital,
yes,
or anti-hospital. Well, there's a lot of gray in between. And
yes,
maybe we should be paying attention to the gray a little bit more.
And I love the name home diagnosis. And I just have to ask, we have like 3 minutes left. I'm very aware of the time. So the TV show is next. PBS is next. What about, I just wanted you to tell us some of the biggest challenges you had on the tour, because sometimes I end up like Pollyanna. I want to hear all the good news. What were some of the obstacles that you had to overcome that you would care to share, or even a funny story of, you're not going to believe this one, Gina?
Sure. Well, actually, just yesterday in Rifle, Colorado, we had to replace an axle on our house.
Oh.
And replace the springs. So that was kind of a fun thing. But that, again, was the diagnostics. I stopped in, had an expert look at the trailer and find out how it was looking. And he said, oh, looks like you've got some wear on your axle. It could be a bent axle. Here's some diagnostics that we're going to run to make sure that that's what it is. And then we were able to make an informed decision about it. But I think that the biggest challenge, aside from having a house that is exposed to an earthquake and a hurricane simultaneously on a weekly basis for the last 6,000 miles, is that we live in a fishbowl. So people only see tiny houses on TV, and the people who live in those tiny houses on the television show are always excited to talk about their tiny house, right? So people assume that, number one, it's a showpiece. We don't really live there. So people walk into our house all the time, from 7 a.m. until 9 o'clock at night. We had a guy just the other day walk in on a little dinner party and looked up at us eating dinner. We were all had our mouths full of food, so I didn't have a chance to say, excuse me, can I help you? And he
this
just
is
said,
my
okay,
house?
And, yeah, that's right. So he
that's
said,
hysterical.
Okay, just check it out. 3, 2, 1, and he like stuck his head into the bathroom, and he was like, and I'm out. Thank you.
I wish you had caught that on YouTube. Oh my gosh, it would have gone viral.
We should just have a constant feed probably onto the internet. But
that
yeah,
is,
that
you should, yes. Facebook Live, here we are. So
right.
I have a favor to ask you right on air, okay? Please, once this podcast is up, spread the word. This has been one of the most fun, informative, and exciting podcasts I've done, and radio shows, because I started out in radio. In 9 years, you guys are awesome. I knew it from the notes I
awesome.
Got. It's like,
thank you
I'm
so
going to have so
it's
much fun with these people.
With
and I hope to be in Phoenix on October 16th. The Efficiency First people, they're the ones who called me and got me excited about this in the first place. And I have it booked off on my schedule to be up there and just give you guys hugs. And maybe I'll get to hold Nanette. I mean, you never know.
Absolutely. We hand her to anybody who wants her.
I'm putting a plug in for that. When, you know, in the next show, I would love to have you back. See, she likes it too. I heard her. Grandma Gina is waiting for you, sweetie pie. So just have the best safe journey till you get here to our town. And I will certainly be inviting people and letting them know about what they can come and learn. I have some wonderful, amazing contacts in the state of Arizona, and I know you'll get good coverage, and we'll be doing our part to spread the good green word. And I bless you on your journey. If you have any more shout-out, you have about 30 seconds, and you can get the last word.
Thank you so much. Well, it's been a pleasure to be with you, Gina. We can't wait to meet you in person.
And we hope everybody can come out to the Proof is Possible tour. We do have a couple more cities through Texas and Alabama, North Carolina afterwards. So proofispossible.com is where they can find all the information about it.
Thanks, everybody. Make it a great green week. Come to Mrs. Green's World and see about the exciting shows we have coming up in the next couple of weeks. Thanks, everybody.